Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Zayin. We're holding at the Mishnah on daf Kuf Tes Zayin, Amud Beis. Beit Shammai Amrim, Tinasei V'Tutol Ketuvata. Now, we're continuing on with the story of a woman who comes and says that her husband died, about which we said at the beginning of the perek that she is believed to say so. So according to Beit Shammai, she can get married and also collect her ketuvah. Whereas Beit Hillel Amrim, Tinasei, she indeed can get married, but lo titok tuvata. I mean, the Chachamim over here were interested in being mekel when it came to the din of aguna, but when it comes to taking out money from someone, that they can't believe her own word. Well, Rula and Beit Shammai, does this make sense? He tartem ervach amura. You were mad to her to get married, which is a very chomor thing. Lo natir mamona kal. Should we not believe her just to collect money, which is not going to cause a disaster? Amrulahem Beit Hillel. So Beit Hillel answered, even though she is indeed Ne'emana, when it comes to the Yisr Erva, that was only for the problem that we have of Igon. We wanted to make sure that a woman wouldn't remain an Aguna. But what? How would that apply to money? And indeed, we find that kind of distinction. We find that she'ein ha'achin, brothers who are inheritors of her husband. I mean, let's say when it comes, says Beit Hillel, to the Yorshim, see his brothers now, are they going to go ahead now and be Yoresh, the Nachala, Alpia? Just because she says that he died, you're telling me that his heirs are going to now be able to inherit him because she says that he died? So even in a place where it helps in terms of the erva for her, and we're allowing her to go ahead and get married, it does not help when it comes to defining the nature of the monetary issues. Furthermore, Amulem Beit Shammai, Alo mi sefer ktuva nilmod. If you're medaya carefully in the language of a ktuva, you can clearly learn out from the language that she gets a ketuvah automatically when she is allowed to remarry. Shaharei, because after all, shahu kotevla, the husband writes to her this language. And if you get married to another, then you take what is in the ketuvah. Now this woman that they were matir to marry, so, and she goes out and gets married, so then this is the condition in the ketuvah. If you get married to someone, you take the money. On the basis of that diyuk, indeed, the Beit Shammai is now chozer to be melamed, and according to what Beit Shammai said, Beit Hillel is chozer like Beit Shammai. There's discussions of precisely whether it's because of the latter, because of the earlier argument, and whether she's believed not only in the ketuvah, but even on the additions in the ketuvah, which this clause may not apply to, that's all discussed among the Achronim, language Achronim. Omer Chista, says the Gemara, Rav Chista says that a woman who said my husband died, as a result of which in that case, not as it says here about the other Yorshim, the Yorshim, even though they're brothers, will not inherit based on her testimony. But a Yavam, who is Miyabin, will inherit, just like any other woman where we know the husband died. Here too, the Yavam, who goes in and does the Yivum, it's a Gzeres HaKosov that the Yavam is Yoresh, the brothers. And therefore, it goes hand in hand, because look, Heim Dashu Midrash Ketuv, Anulo Nidrash Midrash Torah. I mean, they learned out that drasha from the language of a ketubah, and the way the ketubah is defined by Chazal. So we can't learn a drasha directly, being medayik in the language of the Torah itself. It says in the posik, Yakum al shem achiv amar rachmana, and that includes all the elements to fill his shoes, so to speak. Varikam, this Yavam has indeed stood up, done his job, was miyavim, the wife of the brother, and therefore he becomes indeed the one who takes his place in terms of the Nachala as well. Omrim Nachman, Batu Beit Din Vamra Meit Ba'ali, Yitiruni Linasei, So if she comes up and she to the Beit Din, she says, look, my husband has died and I need you to be matir me to get married. Matirino talinase. We do indeed matir. Because of the basis that we said earlier, that a woman is reliant on this issue. Because we're relying on the fact that she will make absolutely certain that that is the case. And notim laktuvata, as we said, that the Beis Hillel in the end was chozer like Beit Shammai, and therefore we give her the ketuvah. But if she comes initially not to ask to be married, and she says, my husband has died, tnuli ketuvati, I want to collect my ketuvah, then we don't even believe her in terms of marriage. Afli hinasei, ein matirino tamai taima. Why is this true? Because obviously, da'ata dektuva atai, she came adaita dektuva. So the main point that she wants is to take out the money. So if that's the case, we no longer have the basis of the whole issue, which is because of the fact that if she goes and gets married based on her testimony, and it turns out that her husband was alive, she's going to lose everything. She's never going to go get married. All she's going to do is take Bezdin's psak, present it to the court, and be presented to the bank and be able to collect her ketuvah. So if that's the case, that means the whole thing is basically a fraud. We don't believe her about anything in this case. Ibailo. How about if she says both? Since she even mentions the ketuvah, does that mean that she's just covering it up with the business of marriage, but that's really her interest? Oh, Dilma, or do we say that since she did mention, I want to get married, so call me the titli minish, am I lulu beidina, look, the mentioning of the ketuvah doesn't show that that's the main point. She goes about, I mean, it's out of proportion, she needs to get married, is that what she's thinking about now? But that's not true, because once a person presents a case to the court, so then they present a case that is basically contains all of the issues that they're petitioning the court for. Because, well, why, she wouldn't mention one and not mention the other. And therefore, there's no reason for us to think, perhaps, that she's coming dafka daita de ketuva and ignore her plea. So what would you say? Furthermore, let's say, v'imtim tzilomar, and if you want to say that, that indeed we accept that she just mentioned it because it was another important issue. How about if she says it in the other order? How about if she says, please, I need to collect my ketuvah, and I want to head to get married. Mahu. So, hacha, here, since she says the less important thing first, it's clear that this was a Freudian slip, and vadei ata de ketuvah atai. She's clearly coming for the ketuvah, and she's not to leave, therefore, to get married either. Or do we say that odilma komile de itle leinish amarlo leveitina, that a man basically tells everything that they're interested in to the Beit Din. And then let's say for the sake of argument, v'im timtzilomar, that indeed halacha is that kol miladit l'inei shamar l'levei dina, that we're not worried about the fact that she mentioned the ketuvah. How about if she says it the other way around? How about if she first says the ketuvah, t'nu li ketuvati, and then he t'nu li, let's say she says now. Over here, it's like a Freudian slip. So mau, halacha v'ada adaita de ketuvah atai. Over here, why would she mention the secondary issue first? Unless perhaps there's another thing to think, which is odilma, that we should be matir even where the main thing that she's saying is the ketuvah, so it would appear. Perhaps indeed she really just essentially wants to get married. The reason she mentions the ketuvah first is hodoloyada b'may mishtaria. She doesn't know what particular element makes her muteret to marry. Maybe she thinks that she needs to get the skus to the ketuvah in order, essentially, to be married. That's how Rashi learns. Others in the Ritva learns that it's difficult to believe that she thinks the ketuvah is needed for her to marry as an almona. But perhaps she thinks that if she doesn't ask for the heter, and she'll sort of get up to it. So even though that's her main thing, she wants to sort of lead into it. So she says the ketuvah because she thinks that the Bezdin is more likely to listen to her on something as simple as the ketuvah, and she doesn't want to get them all nervous that she wants to get married right away. Maybe that's the issue. Take her. In any event, we have no raya to this issue one way or the other. Says the Mishnah, the commissioner, if Edim would come and would say, we said before, even an Eid Echad, it doesn't matter what type of Eid they are. They don't have to be kosher. They can be posel for Eidut, except for cases where we're concerned for the people coming to be Meid may have some ulterior motive of trying to get her to marry. For instance, Chutz B'chamuta, how about her mother-in-law? Her mother-in-law may hate her guts, and so she figures that if she says, I know that my son died, and therefore his wife should be free to marry. So she figures, now here's a way of getting rid of this no-goodnik. All the time she's been worried for years that here she's going to go and die, my son is going to inherit everything I own, and this no-goodnik is going to use up all of my things, my best china, my dresses, and everything that I worked for my whole life is going to go to her. So it's worth it for me to maybe try to get rid of her. The best way to get rid of her is to claim my son is dead. Then when he shows up, it'll be all curtains for her after she goes and gets married to somebody else. Ubat Chamuta, also, the daughter of her mother-in-law, who hates her sister-in-law, because she too feels that this woman is going to take everything of the family's riches, and is going to use them up. And there may be other things that we'll see in the Gemara, of why she hates her. Vitzarata, the co-wife that is married to the same man, obviously has reasons to want to be number one. Viyavimta, also, the wife of the husband of her brother, may well want to get rid of her because she's afraid that indeed what may happen is that perhaps the man will die. And if her husband dies and she ends up becoming a Yavama, she's going to be a Yavama married to the guy who's married to this woman. So she certainly has reasons to plan for her future and get rid of her. Ubad Ba'ala, and the daughter of her husband, who is not her daughter, who of course very often will dislike the woman who's coming to take place of her mother and taking up all of her mother's things. So these people are not ne'emanot to say, because they may have motives of wanting bedafka to answer her on her husband by forcing her to marry somebody else. Now, the Mishnah wants to explain, ma ben get, why is it that when it comes to bringing a get, as we'll see in Masechet Gittin, even these people, chamuta, tzarata, and so on, are believed to bring her get from overseas, even though they have to say when they bring the get, b'fanai nechta, b'fanai nechta, and based on that, she can go and get married, and so they will say that we saw the signing of this get, and the writing of this get, and we believe them, and she's allowed to get married. Even limita, and when it comes now to the question of the death, we don't believe her. So ma ben get limita. The difference is that when it comes to the get, we don't have to be choshesh that they are lying and making the whole thing up. Shaktav mochiach. I mean, they have, after all, signed get, not an easy thing to come by. And the main thing that we're besamech on is the actual get. But when it comes to the edut that the husband died, we are entirely relying on the people that hate her, and therefore we can't do it. Says the Gemara, Iboilo, bat chamian, how about the daughter of her father-in-law, who is not the daughter of her mother-in-law? Now, would she too be in a chazoka of hating the wife of her brother from a common father or not? Do we say time at about chamotah the reason that the daughter of her mother-in-law is not believed is mishum deika ima de sanyal? It's because her mother may indeed hate her, and because of that she's herself come to learn to hate. And because of that, so Hacha over here, which is this daughter of the father-in-law, not the daughter of the mother-in-law, she doesn't have a mother who hates her, like Aima the Sanyala, and she has no personal reason to hate her. So therefore we should believe the daughter of a father-in-law. Or perhaps, that's not the reason, perhaps, Dilma, time it about Hamuta, the reason that the daughter of the mother-in-law hates her is because the Amra, she says to herself, you know, after the death of my mother, And her son, which is the husband of this woman, she's going to inherit everything, and she's going to kachla legirsin adima. She's going to eat everything that my mother brought with her from her family. And if that's the case, ochanami, if it's a daughter of a father-in-law, it's still the same reason, because ka'amra, she's going to say the same thing. She's going to say in her heart that after her father dies, even though maybe her mother's things he won't get, but she's still going to ochle the gears of the vein nasoi. She's going to go ahead and she's going to eat everything that I have from my father. My father's home is going to all be taken over by her. Toshma. Let's see if we can bring a raya. Hakol ne'amanim la'amida chutz mi'chamesh nashim. Here the Braita makes it clear that everyone is believed except for specifically the five women that are mentioned in the Mishnah. Now, from the fact that the Mishnah simply didn't mention the daughter of a father-in-law, then you could say that maybe some things were not included in the Mishnah. Maybe there are other cases. But here the Braita says, Beferush, except for the five women. And if there was indeed another case of the Bat Chamia, so then there are six women. And why does it say in the Braita five? The Imita, that even the daughter of a father-in-law is also not believed. Shitavyan, and there are six women that are not believed. Well, Dilma, perhaps the reason, Bat Chamia may be exactly the same, but the time of the Bat Chamotad, Amar Kachla Girsad Avei Nasoi, maybe the point over here is that the whole question is just a way of referring, I mean, that's the norms that we talk about, the Bat Chamotah, but I mean, the reason is because she's thinking, there, even there, when it's a mother, she's thinking about the things that were in the father's home. And that makes a difference. Shloshna Bat Chamotah, Shloshna Bat Chamia, so that we include it as one case. I'm just referring to it as the daughter of the woman who hates her. As we mentioned Chamotah, as we mentioned Bat Chamotah. Now, the Gemara now is asking on this very thing that we said, Chamish Nashim, that there are five women who are not believed. Tanya, Chutmi Sheva Nashim. There's another Braita that says, all are believed except for seven women. Now, what's that? Well, Nahi Rabbi Yehuda, that's going according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya Rabbi Yehuda, Mosif, Afe Shetab. Rabbi Yehuda adds that even a woman that was married by the father over here will also hate the daughter now of her husband. And the kala, also a daughter-in-law, hates her mother-in-law. So they told him that these are not possible because as a separate list, I mean, they don't need to be mentioned. Eshet Av is Bat Habal. And that's basically the same thing. I mean, basically, if the daughter of the husband, the Mishnah says, cannot go ahead and say that the mother that he married, the stepmother, is muteret to get married, it's because she hates her. Obviously, that hate works in both directions. So it turns out it's the same thing. The wife of the father can now not say anything about the daughter of her husband. It's the same relationship. I mean, you're not adding anything by saying it the other way around. And it's also true that we said a mother-in-law can't be me'ida for the daughter-in-law. Daughter-in-law also hates the mother-in-law. So it's all the same thing. So if this is a result of hatred, then this seems to be exactly the same. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. It's not simply a matter of raw hatred. There's calculating reason here. Because Bishle Machamuta, okay, the mother-in-law, Sanya Lala Kala, Damarka Achla the Girsanai. She hates her daughter-in-law because she feels that she's gonna die. And leave all of her things, everything she's worked on to her daughter-in-law. Who's gonna just take her things and use them in ways that she would never want and so on. But why would the Kala, my time is Sanya Lala Muta? I mean, why would we say that? Because, I mean, there's no necessary calculating reason for her to hate her mother-in-law. I mean, it's just, in general, the hatred of the woman because of what she says is not a reason for her to go into Asar. I mean, so why should we say that it's the same? And the same thing is true when it comes to the Bata Baal. The Bata Baal, yes, she hates the Eshet Ahav, because that Eshet Ahav is taking the place of her mother and using up her mother's things and sleeping in her bed and take over her clothes and so on. That she hates. So she's saying that she's eating up everything that was there, which was basically the family's Yerusha, and she's eating like you're sending the Ein. But the Eshet Ahav? I mean, what's the Bata Baal going to have to do with it? Why would the Eshet Ahav hate the Bata Baal? It's none of her business. So then the Gemara asks, so then, indeed, why aren't they believed? I mean, if you're telling me there's no reason for them to be made, and therefore they're not included, then maybe indeed they could be made. So my Moshe Tarte, why then is he saying the same out of one side of his mouth? He's adding, because Ella Kala my time is Sanya Lachamuta, and Megalalavna Koda Avda. Point over here is that there's another Siba over here that needs to be taken into consideration. That is, the Kala will indeed hate her mother-in-law, because the mother-in-law is always talking bad about her, and she's saying over everything that she does wrong, and her bad manners, and her bad housekeeping, and so on. And the Eshet Ahav also can't stand the Bata Baal, because she also is complaining all day long and saying bad things about her, and so because of that, she wants to get rid of her. The Rabbanan, however, say there is no necessity to add this particular logic in their positions, because it's obvious. Since it says, Kimayim apanim lapanim, kein lev adam la'adam, that just as water reflects water with a face to a face, so too, says Shlomo HaMelech, the heart of a human being reflects the way another person feels about them. And therefore, there is no way to say one hates one, but the other one doesn't hate the other. For Rabbi Yehuda says, that's not a good raya. Because that's talking about b'divrei Torah aktiv. That's not referring to lev adam la'adam. That's talking about the idea that the Torah reflects what it is that the man has invested. So that's one shot. In other words, the heart that you put into the Torah, so too it responds to you. In other words, if you worked on it, then you're going to remember it, and you're going to understand it, and if not, not. Or another pshat is literally, if it's referring to the Rebbe. So if the Rebbe is someone warm and caring and teaches properly, so then he will be combined, put him upon that water, which is Torah, is going to be given over from one heart to another. But if not, it's not going to work, and you can't simply learn it without the heart. In Eretz Yisrael, they had the following question that they raised. How about the mother of the brother of the husband? And she is not the mother of the husband himself. So she comes in afterwards. And now her concern is that if her husband is going to die, if this woman's husband is going to die, that she's being meida on, and his brother is going to be meabing her, then she's going to come and going to be the mother-in-law. That's the problem. So does the future possibility of being a mother-in-law create the mother-in-law issue? So mahu, is she believed or not? Mi maska daita the mitbal munaflika the yavim v'sanyala. Does she work out that the future may hold in store for her having this woman as a daughter-in-law, and therefore it's time to get rid of her now before it's too late, and she's already hating her? Olo, or does a person not plan ahead to such an extent that she should worry? Now, even though when we mentioned, what about her sister-in-law? And her sister-in-law is worried that they're going to end up married to the same guy. Okay, that's different. Because over there, she's going to suffer in a much deeper way. Whereas the chamuta, even if she's going to be her daughter-in-law, it's not as personal. It's just a sense of she's going to be taking up all of the things that she owns ultimately and so on. But it's not that she's going to literally be suffering from her, so maybe it's not quite the same as Rashi explains. So what's the din? This is the question that they raised in Eretz Yisrael. Tashma, let's see if we can bring a raya from this case. Amram meit ba'aliv achakach meit chami. So suppose she says, look, my husband died, and afterwards my father-in-law died. So the din is, she's believed about what she said about her husband, but she's not believed what she said about her father-in-law, because, after all, we said we don't trust the daughter-in-law. So chamuta asura, because she, after all, my time chamuta asura. So explain to me in this case that if she says her husband died, that means her husband died first, so it's no longer, basically, her mother-in-law. It's not her mother-in-law because her husband's dead. So the only reason, l'chora, that we would say that we do not believe her, is that la vishum darmina is not because we say that perhaps lo ba'al amayit v'lo chami amayit, that actually neither of them died, and she is still a mother-in-law. The only reason that she's saying that her father-in-law died is the kukula l'chamotayin d'komechavna. All she wants to do is to mess up the life of her mother-in-law, hoping that she'll go get married to somebody else, and when her father-in-law comes back, he's not going to be able to be with this mother-in-law. So if that means, the Gemara is thinking, that in a case where she is now, and her son is overseas, her mother-in-law is not with him, so there's no discussion about how terrible the daughter-in-law is, and so on and so forth. Nonetheless, the daughter-in-law wants to destroy her life. Why is that? Because even though right now she's not in pain and they've been living far away, but the sorrow, she's thinking, you know, lebata shaita lo teiti titzara. After all, her husband and her father-in-law will both return. So now her mother-in-law will not be able to make her any trouble in the future. If that's true, then that shows that even a mother-in-law that is going to be in position to bother her later, she's trying to get rid of. Well, I mean, that's not quite the same. Dilma Shani Hatam, I mean, over there, yes, we are, because there, Derogish Latsara, look, she's already sensed the pain of this woman. I mean, she's lived with her in the past. They moved overseas, but boy, she is dreading this woman. So over there, maybe she wants to get rid of her. But a woman who has never been her mother-in-law, this kid, never been a daughter-in-law to her, so maybe she doesn't plan ahead in this fashion. Zakter Eilek Mishnah. This Mishnah comes to tell us what would be the halacha in a case where we have a contradiction between the witnesses about whether the husband had died or not. So in a case where Eid Omer Meit, so he comes in to Beit Din, and the Beit Din says, well, very good, matir another woman. She goes ahead when he's eight, and then comes along another aid. Well, once that's the case, Arezo Lotetz, as we saw earlier, in this case where she already got married, we believe the Imut Gemara is going to discuss the reasoning for this. And the halach is actually, as we'll see in the Gemara, doesn't mean literally she got married, even if she didn't get married, but even the best thing was not to her to get married. So as we explained earlier, it says lo teitzei means lo teitzei mehetera harishon. But this was a discussion, we've spoken about this in the past. So, but we'll get to this. Let's not complicate matters. All right. So if another witness comes after the psak, she doesn't have to leave her husband, she doesn't have to leave the head. Suppose now an aid omer meit v'shnayim omrim lo meit. How about if it was a one witness that said he died and two witnesses said that he didn't die? So the one witness does not have the ne'emanut of two witnesses, which are d'oraisa. Over there, alfa bishni seitei. There, even though she got married, she would have to be yotz from her husband. Shnayim omrim meit v'aid omer lo meit. How about if two witnesses say that he died? And now only one comes say didn't die, so one witness has no ne'emanut. Can they get two witnesses? And over there, apa bishalo nisei tinasei. Over there, even if she hadn't gotten married, hadn't gotten after, she gets it now, because there's no reason for us to worry about an eidechad b'mokum shnayim. Says the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah that in a case where one witness says that she died, and she goes and gets married, then, if another one comes, she doesn't have to get divorced. Now, doesn't that mean time and then you say? Only if she really got married. But how long you say, lo din you say? What you're saying is that if she hadn't got married, well, now she can't go and get married. But didn't Ula say, Omar Ula, komakom she'emina Torah ed echad. That the halacha is that where we accept ed echad, let's say, in the case he's referring to is the case of a sota. So a sota was nisteret, and if an ed echad says that she had actually slept with the guy, that Torah believes that ed echad, she becomes asura to her husband and she does not drink the mei sota. So in a case where we have an ed echad that is neman min haTorah, that edus has all of the status of two edim in other cases. In other words, it's exactly the same because the Torah was mami. So reikad shnei edim, what you basically have over here is the equivalent of two edim, which doesn't mean that this one ed would be neman keneged two edim. But in other words, what it means is that if another ed comes and is makfish and says that no, it's not true, she didn't sleep with the guy, that single aid is not neman connected to aid. And since we have two witnesses, even though the other witness says otherwise, we have the equivalent of two, ein dvarav shel echad b'makom shnayim, if an aid, one aid comes along and says, no, it's not true, we ignore him, because he's as if he's a single aid trying to be makrish and deny the testimony of two witnesses whom the Torah believed as two witnesses, even though it's really only one. So if that's the case, so why in our Mishnah does it seem to imply that if she didn't get married, she can't get married? Because the same thing is true by an Eidus Isha. We believe one Eid to be Mater. So if the other Eid now says that he didn't die, why is he believed to be Makrish, the Eid, that says that he did die? We should issue her a Heter now. Hachikom answers the Gemara, that's not a problem. Eid Achad Omer Meit means it doesn't mean that she actually went and got married. We matter her to get married. It doesn't mean from her husband. We don't change our psak, and she is allowed to go ahead and to get married. Okay, now, this is mashma, and it's very clearly it's brought so in the Beis Yosef as well, that we see here from the Gemara, we see here from Rashi, that it's only if they actually issued the heter, but let's say they hadn't been out to her. So then, apparently, we would not say this. If at the time that he's being made, we already have akasha, then we don't believe the eight echad. But not everybody agrees. And there are, in fact, the oath between the Rishonim, that if the eight that was mater shows up, even if we didn't issue the heter, but shows up before the other eight, we would still accept him. There's a lot of discussion about this, and Lemaisa, remember we paskin, and later Achronim paskin, that we would not be mad to her anymore. She has to be Yotzei Mehetera Harisha. Now, we learned in the Mishnah that if an eid omer meit, and two say she didn't, that she has to be Tetzei even if she had married. Says the Gemara Pshita. I mean, obviously, a single eid is not going to have any Ne'emanut. Can I get two witnesses? I mean, this whole thing was a massive, massive chiddush that we did, that we believed that the single aid in this only because of the continued smach on what it is that the woman is going to make sure of. So I'm, of course, in a case where we know what happened based on the Torah's and the amonis of two witnesses, there's no way that we would have a havamina that she's anything but an ashesish. So ein dvarav shalachad b'mokom shnayim. Says the Gemara, no. What we mean is lo tzricha. When we say in the Mishnah that two witnesses say that he did not die, we're talking about two witnesses who are not kosher edim. They're psulei edud. They're two edim that are pasul. So even though they are pasul and the single eid is an eid kosher, we still believe the two edim more than the single eid. Could Rabbi Nechemia, the Tanya, we said earlier in the Messiah, we have Rabbi Nechemia Omer. Wherever you have a place where one witness is believed, if you have two people that are makrish, then they're believed more than him. Now, we asu shtei nashim, the chachomim, believe now two women, who are psulei edus on the din, where they are believed. So they are believed, be'ish echad, to be makrish now, a single man as an eid echad, are the equivalent of kishnei anashim b'ishachad. So in the same way that if you had two eidim that are kosher, they would be believed to be makrish an eid echad. So now, if we have now a din that Eid HaChodesh Neman here, so that means that we don't really have the normal dinim of Eidos. Therefore, we should go according to Rov Deyot. Once we go according to Rov Deyot, even Eidim Psulim can be Makrish and Eid Kosher, because we're not dealing with the actual din of Eidut. And that is a Chiddush to tell us that, and that even though she was married, she should be Yotze based on the halacha of the Rov Deyot. We saw this, by the way, earlier, if you remember back on Daf Pechet, that if the woman would say, in the case where she said, this is not my husband, that was the case over there, they were arguing whether it is her husband, not her husband, that if she herself is Makasha, she's not yet. Now that's one way of understanding it. Another way of understanding it is that Kol Echadata Eidachat Kasher Mikora. Indeed, if you start with a single eight kosher, said Afilu Me'an Hashim Eidachat Damyat, that single aid has indeed the special halacha of Eid Echad, and since he's kosher, we cannot be makrish a kosher aid. So then, Ella, just that when we said over here, in the meaning of this Mishnah, that we should go according to the Rov, that's talking about Kigon Data Yisha Mikar. That means that a woman showed up first, and that is the meaning of the Eid Echad. All this is a repeat of the sugya we had earlier. The way, therefore, to explain what Rabbi Nechemiah said actually is this. Rabbi Nechemiah Omer, Kol makom sheminat Torah Eid Echad, aleich achar rov deyot. V'yasu shtei nashim b'isha achat. So what Rabbi Nechemiah said was only, when the Torah believes in Eid Echad, you go according to rov deyot. Now, how to apply that? So where you have two women that are now being makrishot, one woman, that's the equivalent of two men being makrish one man. And just like over there, kishen hashim b'ishachad, and just like over there, when you have two eidim that are kosher, can I get one eid that's possible? Clearly, that's not going to be meaningful. But indeed, shtei nashim b'ishachad would not be sufficient to say rov, and that would be kapalgo palga dami. That's as if we have the same as a hakrasha of eid echad keneged eid echad, and they're not ne'amanot, and therefore if we were already matir, the nisuin, and then now we have the two women that were makrish, we will not change it based on that hakrasha, because it's palga upalga. The next thing that we learned in the Mishnah is Shnayim Omrim Meit. And one says Lo Meit. So over there, we completely ignore the one who says Lo Meit, and we go ahead and we issue her a heter. Says the Gemara, well, isn't that obvious? My Kamash Malan. I mean, of course, if you have two Eidim, then we completely ignore an Eid Echad. That's all over. Answers the Gemara, it's talking over here, the two who said that he died are Psulei Eidut. Even so, they are believed to be matir keneged the eight. Look at Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Nechemiah, after all, explained earlier the azil bata rov deyot, that in a place where there is meid eidim psulim, you no longer have to worry about the kashrus of the eid. So if that's the case, you go according to the rov, and in this case, we follow the rov. That's the Gemara, but then there's no additional chiddush. I know hach. I mean, we already read that, didn't we, in the Reisha. What would be the point of saying it again? Because Mao the Tema, I might have thought that if it hadn't been for this piece, Ki Azlinan Batarov Deyot, when do we go Basarov? According to Mechema, only Lechurma, to answer her. But in this case, Avalakulo, here we're going to be Matar, even after we see the Akashalo, maybe we won't be Somech to be Matar according to the Rov. Kamash Berlan, that even Lechula, we will always go after Rov Deyot, as Rabbi Nechemiah said.